Good morning. Thank you, Barbara, for that introduction and for gathering us. We don't always do this, but sometimes it's fun to introduce people that we haven't seen in a while. We got a couple of Earl Morgan in the back there. Earl, stand up, wave hello. Here visiting us from Arkansas. We want to acknowledge him, and good to see you, brother. You're looking good. I think I recognize everybody else. Yeah, I've seen all of you pictures in the post office, so I think I know everybody else. I have good news. Some of you know I've been struggling with back pain, so I went and did some doctoring around that and got to kind of figure it out. Went to the doctor this last week, and she gave me a handout on exercises to do to try and mitigate that. This next week, I plan to start reading those exercises. So, prayers for me as I'm in the midst of that. On the back of the bulletin, you see some of the things going on in the church. I want to know if there are other things that we need to be aware of, other things to go on the calendar. Debbie Gunther has a mission opportunity for us. How many of us are involved in mission as Christians? Amen?
Okay, we got a good check, I feel like, because it was a bad day from Bubba's. We got $90 from them, so that was a great start.
Amen.
And in February, it'll be February 21st at Just Grill, and that's 11 to 8. So, thank you.
Feb 21st, Just Grill. All right. It's really hard to do these mission events. You just go and eat. That's really a rough thing, so we want to be aware of that. Other things for the good of the order, other things that we need to be aware of and that we need to list as we are about preparing. I don't see anything else. We're about to turn into February, as my daughter Melissa pointed out to us. And you know what February is? February is, I don't know if I can do it well. Right, Melissa? She was showing me it's the heart for Valentine's Day. February is for Valentine's. Amen. All right. Nothing else for the good of the order as we are prepared and as we begin. Let us be in worship, stand and wave hello to one another, and let's turn to our call to worship.
Please remain standing for the call to worship. Today is a day for hearing Christ's call. Like the fishermen Jesus called long ago, we are called to hear and to follow Jesus. Are we ready to accept his truth, rejoice in his love, and reveal his glory in the world? Today, may all who gather hear God's call and follow. Jesus called the fishermen from water and calls us from the water of our baptism. Christ bids all his children to come and share with the world. Come, let us join in worship. Come, loving Lord, come among your people.
Now, if you'll remain standing and join in the hymn, In the Bleak Midwinter, found on 221 in the hymnal.
You may be seated. Today's scripture is from 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 13, in your Pew Bible on page 160. Food offered to idols. How concerning food sacrificed to idols. We know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God. The Father exists, and the one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom we all, to whom are all things and whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge, since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you possess knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol. Might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, these weak believers from whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is the cause of their failing, I will never eat meat so that I may not cause one of them to fail. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sandy. Well done. By way of announcements on concerns, the back of the bulletin, we continue to lift wars and places caught up in war and the people, innocents that are caught in those places, and we want to be aware of those. We also lift those that we've had on the back of the bulletin, Jim Latow, Renee Verone, and Sandy Tinney. We've acknowledged your great nephew. I was told this morning Barb Stevens fell. She's going in to see the doctor, but she's in pain, hurt her back, you know how that is, and so she's kind of under the weather. So Barbara Stevens needs to be in our thoughts and prayers. Are there other concerns that you would lift this morning as we come and as we gather? Debbie Gunther.
I don't know, I might have mentioned it last week, but Krista Bray Miller lost her mother last week. So please pray for Krista and family.
Krista Bray Miller and the loss of her mom. Yeah. Ellen.
Yeah, I don't often share a lot on my mind, but today I am. I have a friend from high school who lives in the Cripple Creek area in the mountains who's cancer prognosis has turned for the worse. So she's really heavy on my heart today. Her name is Cheryl.
Cheryl. Okay, we lift Cheryl in prayer. Joe and Monica are here this morning, and we just want to remember that they join us virtually, and I have not yet acknowledged our online visitors, viewers. We have a large community that worships with us, some that are scattered. Krista Braymiller, for example, in New York. Normally, I think, Earl, I don't know if you've been watching us online from Arkansas. I think we reach Arkansas, but I, you know. At any rate, we do have a strong online worship community. We acknowledge those. And Ruth and Monroe don't make it to church anymore, but they are part of our community, and we celebrate them. And we celebrate your ministry of taking care of those two rascals. And then we say that in love. Other concerns, other thoughts and prayers you want to lift, and as we are about gathering? Well, now I should have a birthday list. Let me hunt here. Well, I don't. Oh, yes, I do. This is like Christmas up here. This coming week, Jane Barber is having a birthday on Wednesday the 31st. Seldon Funaki having a birthday on February 5th. Those are all that we have in this upcoming week. Are there others that you know of that are having birthdays or anniversaries or special events going on? I don't see any others that are listed. So we celebrate those. We celebrate those milestones, and we celebrate. Say, you know what? God watered my lawn this week. How about you? It was a little bit slippery and slidey and messy for one day, but man, it's glorious outside. Isn't that beautiful? God is good. And all the time, God is good. We are thankful. Let's join together in our unison prayer. We come and gather to give thanks to the Lord with our whole hearts in the company of the in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord. Many are the blessings we have received. Fuller of honor and majesty is God's work, full of compassion and justice. The Lord is gracious and merciful. The Lord is ever with the faithful. The Lord keeps holy covenant with us. The Lord's guidance is forever. The Lord's guidance is within us through the Holy Spirit. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Loving Lord God, in this bleak midwinter, we find beauty even amongst the cold and frozen ground. We find beauty in all of your creation. We find the knowledge that this time of sleeping nature is a time for us to contemplate, to gather, to spend time studying, to spend time preparing. Lord, you are ever with us, and you guide us and inspire us in every season. And then at times of the growing sunshine, each day a little bit longer, we pause and acknowledge the growth of Christ in our hearts when we pray for the growth of Christ in the world around us. There are many things that can be distractions. Our faith can be sorely tempted. Our day-to-day actions and our reactions are always before us. Be with us, Lord. Be with us and guide us through the Holy Spirit that we might be traveling more closely with you each day, that we might find ways to be new in offering you to those we meet. Be with all of those who are hurting. Be with all those who are suffering. We know you hear every prayer. We know that you are there in the darkest nights. And we know that you are there in the celebrations. Help us remember, Lord, that it is from you that all good comes. And it is from you that we find light, the light out of the darkness. This morning, Lord, we come lifting prayers for different parts of the world in conflict, in anger, in vengeance and revenge. Out of those nations, Lord, help nurture the hearts that continue to follow you, that seek peace, that seek shalom. Be with us, Lord. Be with us as we gather as a community, as a church, and as we gather with churches around the world in all nations and languages, gathering together with you, and hear the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for your offerings. I have not yet seen a bill. We had to have the heating system worked on again. Haven't seen that bill yet, but it will come. And I hope that you will assist in helping us defray that expense. I know that you continue to help us keep the lights on and the heat on, and continue to do the ministry that is in this church. So thank you for your offerings. Our plates are in the back, as you know. Let us hear our offertory.
Will you please stand for the reading of the scripture? It's going to be Mark 1, 14 to 20, found in the Pew Bible on page 33. Mark 1, 14 to 20. The proclamation of John the Baptist. The beginning of the news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as written in the prophet Isaiah, See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you.
Where are you reading from?
Mark 1. Oh, 14. I'm sorry, I'm reading from 1.
That's all right. It's always good to hear more scripture, but let's stick with this.
I'll go find 14 for you. The beginning of the Galilean ministry. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Jesus calls the first disciples. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea. For they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I would preach, but I can't think about anything.
Kelly, you come down here with Stephanie. Anybody else want to come and join? I see a lot of kids out there. Some of you are a little bigger than others, but that's all right. Anyway, let's join together in a little aerobics and our vacation Bible school song.
To follow Jesus, no turning back.
Thank you. Did you have fun there, Miss Stephanie? You look like you did. Amen. All right. No turning back. No turning back. Amen. That needs to be something we need to think about. I didn't exactly have it in the sermon here, but I've been anxious to dive into this particular sermon. I got an email from a dear friend who shared this email, and she said, "Have you read this?" And there was an attached link to look at, and I didn't have time to look at that and put it off. And finally, one day, I thought, I better look at that, and I am so excited to have read it. This is from Dr. Su Wong Ra, Fuller Theological Seminary, professor of evangelism, believe it or not. Dr. Su says, "We do not possess the truth, we pursue it. Jesus is the truth. We are pursuers of that truth." Amen? I need to acknowledge that and think about that. Truth exists. There's what he wrote. He said, "Truth exists. Jesus is the living truth. However, no human owns Jesus, and no human should claim to solely own or possess the entirety of truth." We don't possess the truth. We are pursuers of truth. Think about that a minute. Just let that kind of soak in. We don't own the truth. We are not owners of, we don't possess truth. We are pursuers in search of. Jesus called the disciples, recall? Come and follow. He didn't say, "Hey, come here and be bosses." It's a difference. There's a huge difference there. And he points out that this may be one of the reasons that the church is changing so radically. Let me read you a portion here. "If Christians in Christ's church were to see themselves not as the possessors of truth, but the pursuers of truth, how would that change us? Would that soften our political positions or our cultural warrior status? Truth pursued requires a humility to acknowledge that God of the Bible, God of history, and the God of truth." Could that humility deconstruct a broken history and construct a way forward? What a concept. What a change. You know, we get caught up in ideas and mental attitudes of ownership and of authority and of superiority and a lack of openness to others and seeking. I have to confess to you here and now, I don't have all the answers. I went to ILF, I thought, this is going to be fun. I'm going to get all the answers. I'm going to have all my questions figured out. I'm going to get the words straightened out. It's going to be so exciting. And the professors at ILF, they pointedly said they didn't have all the answers. And I just nodded and smiled and thought, they're awfully humble. I didn't really listen to what they were about. It is about humility. And it wasn't about humility, and it isn't about humility. It's about honesty. No honest human is a possessor of the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. Paul's epistle, we got a little, something happened there between the screen and the text and the book and what have you and all of that, but you got the gist of it. There's a huge controversy going on. You remember in Paul's mission to the Gentiles, he's in the middle of Gentiles that are, some are following Jesus, some are following the pagan gods, and there's some devout Jews, and boy, it's just a potpourri of just all kinds of mixes and things. But one of the things going on is that If you happen to be a pagan and you have some temple to some goddess, Asherah, or a temple to Baal, and you want to give an offering to that, you might give a grain offering ritualistically to gain favor with that particular god, or you might give a meat offering. Well, that food left on those offering places, there's some good meat there, so some people are picking that up, and they're cooking it up and selling it and using it. And so there they are, people are consuming this food that has been offered to these pagan gods, and there's a huge controversy. Some of the faithful are saying, you can't eat this. This food is not acceptable. This is pagan food. It's not appropriate. Kind of reminds me of the old story about the woman who was asked the pastor. She says, Pastor, I've been thinking about coming to the potlucks, but she said, I can't bring my favorite dish. It's devil's food cake. Paul is talking about some of those people who are saying, no, you can't eat that food that's been offered up to pagan gods. Now, Paul is all up here a lot. He's figured it out. He's thought it through. And you and I have as well. And we know that food that goes in has nothing to do with changing us. It's not what goes in the mouth. It's what comes out. Remember what Jesus said? So we know and we can logically work through that it wouldn't hurt us. It's not a sin to eat food that has been offered to pagan gods. Logically, we can come down with that logical thought through truth. But he goes on and he said, but if there is one other who is coming to find about Christ, who's learned about Christ, who's coming to the table, some young baby Christian comes, and if my eating meat stops them from their journey of faith, I will never eat meat again. He's not speaking from up here anymore. He's speaking from his heart. Didn't you say this, Melissa? Isn't this what it is? Melissa, heart, do it. Come on, show me. Heart. You can't see it, but she's making a heart too. Valentine's heart. Paul's talking from his heart. If his actions, if his word, if what is happening might be a detriment, an impediment to any other person, he will not do so. Certainly it's true, we are no worse off if we do eat and no better off if we do not. It doesn't make any. Food will not bring us closer or keep us from God, he says. But therefore, if food is a cause of their failing, I will never eat meat so that I may not cause one of them to fail. Knowing may not be faithful. Searching is appropriate here. Searching for what truth is beyond simple knowledge. That's what Paul says. He says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Think about that a minute. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And building up is the goal. Jesus is calling the fishermen. This is a Sunday where we hear him calling James and John, the brothers Simon and Andrew, and they're did you notice that he didn't call scholars and scribes and educated people? These are fishermen. These are simple folks. These are not the learned and the esteemed, and they are not the high and mighty in the society. They are the common people, the people like us. Church I served previously, I don't want to list any names or decry anyone, but there was a fellow I knew in the community. He and I had kind of become friends, and we'd become friends before he found out I was a pastor, and we stayed friends even when he did find out I was a pastor. Being a pastor is a whole different world. We can get into that another day. But he thought, well, I'm going to come and see what this thing is all about. If he goes there and he's the preacher there, this might be intriguing. So he showed up and he happened to come on a morning that we had a Bible study, a class. And he's sitting in. This is a baby Christian from. And we're sitting in the gathering, and people are sharing different things. And he shared a statement about something. And it was about one of those theological questions. And he just had the question, and he put it out there. Well, some of the people that heard it had been raised in the church, had grown up, had been to Sunday school more days than there were hairs on their head. They knew the answer. It had been drilled into them, and they gasped when he heard the question. Ultimately, he quit and never came back. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. They were possessors of the truth, not searchers. And they failed to see a searcher amongst them and have the humility to say, let's help them along. When my girls were little, we would be driving down the road, and Sarah, she would spot a Dairy Queen a mile away. And I mean, Dairy Queen, my oldest stepdaughter, Corinne, the one we lost to COVID, she had worked at Dairy Queen, and Dairy Queen was the favorite place in the whole world. She could spot those, and I said, Sarah, you have very sharp eyes. Some days later, we were trying to open a bag of potato chips, and I couldn't get it to tear, and I started to reach down for a pair of scissors. She says, Dad, I will cut it open with my sharp eyes. I didn't laugh at her. I grinned and laughed with her, and we smiled. And now we tell that story humorously, but I didn't shame her about it. I wasn't arrogant about it. She was a child learning. I still say she has sharp eyes, and she still laughs every time. And that's okay, isn't it? How many of you were up and dancing? I didn't look during the vacation Bible school piece. I mean, that's supposed to be our aerobic time. I don't think as many of us get as much aerobics as Stephanie and Floyd and some of the others do, but I just don't look around to see. But did you hear the theme of it? I have decided to follow Jesus. It doesn't say, I have decided to be in charge of Jesus. I know everything there is to know about Jesus. I'm an expert and an authority on everything to do with Jesus. I have decided to follow. There's that doggone humility again. We are not good at that in this United States of America. We tend to be about truth and what our truth is compared to what someone else's truth is. Isn't that where we're in conflict? Isn't that where some of these brouhahas are coming up? What's truth and what isn't truth? And by golly, you're going to do it my way, or else we're going to have a Hatfields and McCoys going on. I've strayed a little bit on my topic there, haven't I? But the gospel lesson reminds us that Jesus called amateurs. He didn't call experts. He sought fishermen. Come, follow me. And then he began to teach them things. And over a year or 3 years, depending upon which gospel you read, he did ministry and he taught them many things. And he told them parables and he had stories and there were events that occurred and he had sayings. And he taught them many, many things. And eventually they began to write them down after his death. Mark wrote down the first gospel that we have in our Bible. And out of those, we share the teaching that points to the truth, which is Jesus Christ. Lord God, save us from our arrogance. Save us from being those who know, and help us find humility to be those who pursue you, who follow you. Amen. Amen. Now with that, there's a caveat, because our hymn is Go Tell It on the Mountain. Come on up, Richard. and go tell it might infer that we're going to share the truth that we know. Let's share the promise that we've heard as we are pursuers. Stand, if you will. Let's sing together. Amen, amen, and we have gathered. I hope that there is something for us to think about here, about how we have been as a church and as churches and as the church, about being possessors versus pursuers, and how out of humility we need to rethink that. I hope this is part of the calling that we have received, just as Jesus called the fishermen out of the ocean, as he calls us. In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may we be blessed to offer Christ as the one we pursue, as the truth that we seek. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Join hands, if you will. Let's sing our closing. God's people said,
Amen. Amen.